It's our pleasure today to be talking with Mr. David Dawson. Mr. Dawson is seeking the Democratic Party nomination as a candidate for Iowa's 4th Congressional District. Dave Dawson was born in Cherokee and raised in Ouachita, Iowa, where his parents worked together in the family agricultural business. After graduating from Iowa State University and law school, Dave worked in Chicago for 3 years before returning home in 2002 to serve as a prosecutor in the Woodbury County Attorney's Office. For nearly two decades, he has prosecuted drug dealers, sex offenders, and child abusers, and has twice argued in one cases before the Iowa Supreme Court to protect vulnerable children and strengthen Iowa's families. In 2012, Dave was elected to the Iowa House of Representatives. He served on committees including public safety, commerce, and human resources, and worked to pass legislation that protected public safety, strengthened Iowa businesses, and supported Iowa families. Dave has also been deeply involved in his community, serving in nonprofit boards for child abuse prevention, disability services, and anti-poverty programs. He's been a coach, a church leader, and an AFSCME union member since 2003. Dave and his wife, Lisa, live in Lawton, Iowa, with their three children. Dave, tell our listeners something about yourself they'll not find on your website or with a search engine.
Probably the thing that people don't know about me is that I have worked behind the scenes in Democratic politics now in Woodbury County for over 20 years. And I've previously been delegates to the district and state conventions. And I've also previously served as the Woodbury County Democratic Party chair.
Well, as you talk with people around the district, and it's the largest geographical district in the state, what are their most frequent concerns?
I think people are very nervous about the cuts to health care that were implemented earlier this year with the tax policy that President Trump passed that cut nearly $1 trillion from the Medicaid system. People are worried about how that will impact rural hospitals and rural nursing homes. So I would say healthcare. And also with the government shutdown, I know that people are concerned with the fact that Republicans have not agreed to extend the enhanced subsidies for the Affordable Care Act that will make healthcare more affordable for small business owners and farmers who rely on that subsidy to make healthcare affordable for them.
Well, assume you're elected. What are your top priorities and what actions will you take to get them done?
Well, my priorities, if I were elected, would be focusing on expanding healthcare options, making sure we're funding research to get to the bottom of the cancer crisis that's going on in the state of Iowa, making sure we're working to raise incomes and increase competition in our state, making sure we're protecting Social Security and Medicare and following through with promises to our seniors, and also making sure we're standing up to protect people's individual rights and freedoms, because over the last 9 months, it's become clear that people's rights are not being honored and that laws are not being followed by the Trump administration. We need to make sure that people are provided due process and equal protection under the law. And we need people in Congress willing to stand up to the president when he is going beyond what he should be doing.
Our water quality. What can you do from your congressional perch to help us with water quality here in Iowa?
Although my family does have an agricultural background, my grandfather was a farmer and my wife's family used to farm, and my father ran an agricultural business in Ouachita for many years. I'm not a farm policy expert. You know, that's not been my focus of my legal career over the last 23 years. So I've been trying to listen to farmers all across the 36 counties of 4th Congressional District to learn more about what they think should be done on water quality. It's clear to me that we're not doing enough. We need to make sure that whatever we're doing, we have cost sharing opportunities with farmers so that we're not implementing huge regulations that they can't afford that make it even more difficult for farmers to farm. But we also want to people to understand that, everybody wants clean water in the fourth district. Farmers do, people that live in small towns, people that live in big towns. So it affects everybody in our community. So it's a community-wide problem that we should be focused on. But I think, the first thing we should be doing is making sure we're passing a farm bill that lasts more than, 3 months at a time. They haven't renewed the farm bill since 2018, except for with continuing resolutions. And I think that's unfortunate that we can't even budget for 1 year at a time in our country. People can't plan long term and understand what the programs are that they can benefit from that would help improve our water quality if we don't have a long-term strategy in place. So I think it's important that whatever we do, we follow whatever science recommends is the best solution for water quality, and that we do it on a long-term basis, with adequate funding.
Well, one of the things that we're having a problem with in Iowa is having enough people to do jobs that are available. And one way, of course, to increase the workforce is through immigration, but we've got somebody pushing on the other side of that, wanting to restrict the immigration, so much so that what are we going to do for a workforce? Do you have some ideas about what we could do to reform the immigration program?
I'm also not an immigration expert, but I am listening to people, and people do want immigrants in our country lawfully. And that is the primary issue. If we come up with a system that allows immigration lawfully into our country, there are jobs that can be filled. But we should also be paying people who live in our country already a living wage. And right now, in the state of Iowa and at the federal level, there hasn't been an increase in the minimum wage since 2009. And people who are working full time can't survive on $7.25 an hour. We need to be doing more to raise the wages and incomes of people who live in Iowa and attracting them to stay in our state. Because if you can go across the river from my area in Woodbury County into South Dakota and Nebraska and make $12 or $13 an hour, why would you want to stay in Iowa? Even if you're just beginning in the world and starting your first job. So why would you want to stay in Iowa if we can't pay people better?
One of the barriers to getting something done is the amount of money in politics. And the folks who have the power and the money seem to want to block a lot of these ideas. What would you do about restricting money in politics?
Well, one of the things that I think is important that we should focus on is, putting term limits in place for Congress. There are already term limits in place for the president, and I think if people focused on doing the best that they could in the short amount of time that they were allowed to serve in Congress, they might get more done and be less focused on retaining their job and having to fundraise all the time to retain their job. I think we should amend our Constitution to say that corporations are not people and that the money that they spend should not be part of anybody's First Amendment free speech rights, because corporations shouldn't be treated as persons. But that takes a long time to amend our Constitution. In the meantime, I would support measures to have publicly financed elections. I don't know how you stop people from running in a primary, but if you are qualified for the general election ballot, there should be a fixed amount that is determined in advance as to what a reasonable amount of money on it is to spend on both sides of the aisle, so people aren't always having to chase dollars. Because I think we need more people focused on public service, and not focused on, getting the highest dollar and focused on their corporate, donors, because that's what's prevented a lot of good policy, I think, from moving forward in our country is, people worrying about the money instead of people worried about the problems that we need to solve for our country.
Is there a federal role for education?
At this point in time, primarily our education at the state level is funded by the state and local governments. But the federal government does have a role in making education accessible for people with disabilities, whether that's a learning disability or a physical disability. And there is disability funding that comes from the federal government to make it more equitable for people to attend the public schools. And I was concerned this summer that the federal government, that at the Trump administration, embargoed some of the federal funding for a short period of time that was designed to support special education services. So the federal government should stand by their commitments and continue to support those programs. But ultimately, education should be local school boards making the decisions about, how much funding they need each year, and local individuals deciding who they want running their schools, who should be the superintendent, who should be on their school board, what do they want locally for their schools to function. And I think at the state level, at least, state funding in Iowa used to be nonpartisan. When I graduated in high school in 1992, Iowa was ranked number one in education. And over the last 30 years, we've continued to drop in the rankings. And that's largely due to a change in the way they fund allowable growth, which is now called state supplemental aid. They changed it from a fixed cost of living increase based upon economic factors in our state, and they changed it to the legislature had to vote each year to determine how much additional funding a school might get. Instead of making it a political issue, I think it should go back to being what are the actual cost of living increases schools are suffering or seeing each year, and we should, keep it a nonpartisan decision.
The feds have had a considerable involvement in higher education, but also in secondary education with vocational programs. Are you familiar with those?
Yes, I think we should continue to provide federal grant funding as well as federal scholarship programming for higher education. But I think what we really should be focusing on are trade schools, schools that can give people a job with skills that they can perform in our local communities. We have an aging population in Iowa, not just our farming population, but all of our trades. There's a lot of people that are going to be retiring over the next several years as the baby boom population continues to age, and we need people in jobs like that that are good paying jobs. They just need to have the skills, and we need to make sure it's affordable and accessible for more people to go into those types of trade schools, which are largely funded through our community college system in the state of Iowa.
A woman's right to her own body, a ranger.
I, as a lawyer, thought it was a huge mistake for the Iowa Supreme or the United States Supreme Court to overturn Roe versus Wade. That decision had stood for my entire life, and it came out in January of 1973, and I was born in October of 1973. So this was something that had existed my entire life. And it really chips away at our individual liberties and rights to privacy. And so if the government can regulate something so intimate as the decision as to whether or not you decide to have a child, it's concerning to me that they can continue to chip away other rights about who you can choose to marry or who you can choose to live with or whether or not you have a right to have contraception and make the decision about whether and when you want to have a child. As a Christian and somebody who's a Lutheran, I would probably never choose to have an abortion because I believe all life is precious, but I've never been a victim of crime or a rape victim. And in my cases, as a prosecutor, I have seen children the ages of 11 who have been victimized by family members who've had to have children and bring those children forward. And that would be a hard thing for me to want to force anybody to believe what I believe in my religion. So I think government should stay out of it. I believe that doctors should be allowed to provide health care that's needed to save the life of any of their patients. And sometimes miscarriages happen, and sometimes spontaneous abortions happen, and there have to be procedures done to save women's lives. And if the laws are getting in the way of providing effective health care to save the life of a woman, I think those laws shouldn't be on the books.
Gun control. Is there a route to some common sense gun control today?
Well, as somebody who supports the Second Amendment, I also support the First Amendment. And in the First Amendment context, there are rights to protest and there's rights to demonstration, but there are reasonable time, place, and manner requirements with regards to when you can protest and where you can protest. And so there are same types of reasonable regulations with regards to where you can carry a gun and when you can carry a gun. And those types of regulations should continue to be in place. We shouldn't have guns in schools. We shouldn't have guns in stadiums or public events.
Well, thank you very much for being with us and introducing yourself to our listening audience. You've been listening to Conversations with Candidates with Mr. David Dawson, who's seeking a Democratic Party nomination for the U.S. House of Representatives representing the 4th District of Iowa.